From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, May 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Nearly a year after the May 16th tornado, a St. Louis Public Radio investigation has revealed the problems with the recovery go beyond the federal government.
The city of St. Louis has their pants down. I don't know how they're going to pull them back up.
That investigation as STLPR begins a week-long set of stories on the first anniversary of last year's tornado. That's coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri legislature begins its final week of work today with a variety of bills it could still pass. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, one of those bills may center on education.
Lawmakers have yet to pass significant education legislation this year. That comes despite Governor Mike Kehoe's desire for an A through F grading system for public and charter schools. House Speaker John Patterson says the chambers have been negotiating on that piece of legislation and that it could get done by the end of the week.
I'd like to see that for Missouri schools so that people can know, hey, my school is performing very well, or it's performing not as well as I thought it was.
Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck hopes the education bill will also contain a policy on the state's private school voucher program, which is controlled by the treasurer's office. That could include transparency and accountability measures. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
This week, lawmakers are also setting their sights on addressing property taxes. This comes as many Republicans have cited property tax changes as their highest priority for this session. That includes a bill requiring the individual assessment of different property tax subclasses, which will likely lead to lower tax rates. Democrats also see passing property tax legislation as a priority. House Minority Leader Ashley Awney says she worries the legislation being considered won't give enough relief to Missourians.
I do worry that we will be really proud of ourselves for passing some level of property tax reform, but it's not going to translate into savings for the taxpayer.
The legislature has until 6 p.m. this Friday to pass legislation before adjourning for the year. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers plans to demolish a building in a vacant apartment complex after radioactive material was found beneath it. STLPR's Sarah Fenton reports the complex in Hazelwood has been closed for several years.
The Corps discovered the contaminated material under the clubhouse as part of its ongoing testing and cleanup around Coldwater Creek. Starting in the 1940s, nuclear waste from the Manhattan Project was stored at the site near St. Louis-Lambert International Airport. The 19-mile Coldwater Creek became contaminated after the improperly stored waste leached into the water and surrounding land. As the creek flooded, the contamination spread to its banks and surrounding areas, including under the clubhouse. The Corps says taking the building down will allow workers to clean up radioactive material underground and further assess the contamination. Officials add the pollution doesn't pose a risk to people nearby. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
When audience members settle into their seats for the next week or so at the Fabulous Fox Theater for Monty Python's Spamalot, they'll see a St. Louis native. Lafayette High School graduate Nathaniel Mahone is in the ensemble for the national tour, and he's understudying two principal roles. Mahone says his years performing at the Muni as a child and teenager showed him the through line from the dance routines he once put on in his family's living room to the biggest professional stages.
I was able to understand that any story, it could be the Three Little Pigs, it could be Hamilton, but any story can be communicated in any size theater if there's authenticity behind it.
He was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Spamalot plays at the Fox through May 17th. The Metro East will soon have a film studio that the developer hopes attracts big-budget movie and television projects to the region. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, Hollywood River Studios is already under construction.
The $62 million Hollywood River Studios will be built in Wood River and total 140,000 feet of studio space. Developer Chris Breakwell is a former St. Louis banker who started a successful film studio in his native Pittsburgh. There, Breakwell's studio has worked on projects like The Fault in Our Stars and The Dark Knight Rises.
I'd like to see the same thing happen to St. Louis that happened to Pittsburgh. I think it just changes the overall image of the city. It brings jobs. To me, it's something to create a legacy of.
Breakwell is hoping filmmakers will take advantage of Illinois' generous tax credits. The goal for Hollywood River is for television production to get up and going by summer 2027 and to complete the movie studio in 2028. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Nearly a year has passed since an EF3 tornado hit St. Louis, damaging thousands of homes and killing multiple people. Since then, residents in the tornado zone say frustratingly little progress has been made. While St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer has repeatedly blamed chaos at the federal level, St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke and Kayvon Mansouri have been working to understand what happened at the local level.
A week shy of the one-year mark after the tornado, you can still hear the damage in Pat Miller's Fountain Park home. Water drips into her bedroom through a hole in the roof. Blue tarps blow in the wind on her windows. And in the alley out back, shingles cover the ground.
Over here where I live, it looks just like May 17th. It looks just like May 17th.
The tornado tore down Miller's back wall and shredded her roof. She has insurance, but it hasn't come close to covering what's needed, so she's been temporarily living in St. Louis County. Miller is one of the most proactive tornado survivors out there. She applies to practically every opportunity, and she packs her calendar with recovery meetings.
I go because I just can't stay silent. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference.
Most of the work Miller has gotten done on her home has been thanks to nonprofits, not her insurer State Farm or the city. She applied right away to the city's private property assistance program when it launched in October. Someone from the program finally came out to look at her house on May 4th. Miller says the tornado exposed how St. Louis politicians have treated North City for decades.
So this has been a long time coming, and now it's here. The city of St. Louis has their pants down. I don't know how they're going to pull them back up.
St. Louis Public Radio heard from many residents who have the same question as Miller. Why have local recovery efforts felt slow and disorganized? Spencer consistently blames turmoil at the Federal Emergency Management Agency for the recovery pace.
SDLPR reporting shows it wasn't just the feds. City leaders also made decisions that slowed recovery efforts. Spencer and her team took a long time to create entirely new government structures to help people, instead of adapting existing ones. They staffed the recovery with people who didn't have experience, and they waited months for an absent FEMA rather than stepping up for residents. One former City Hall employee is now speaking out.
In late June, Noelle Pfeffer felt disturbed after a meeting with top St. Louis tornado recovery officials. The then director of St. Louis Community Development Agency had spent the meeting debating how long victims displaced by the tornado should be allowed to stay in hotels. He remembers that Spencer's then chief of staff, Nancy Hawes, told him hotels should be a last resort.
Because they were too comfortable. And that really disturbed me because God forbid people are comfortable when their lives have just been destroyed, their homes have been destroyed, their lives have been turned upside down.
By this time, Pfeffer had been repeatedly clashing with Spencer's team. He felt something was going seriously wrong with the tornado response. He began documenting his meetings and interactions with Spencer and recovery officials before eventually resigning in November.
Despite the best of intentions and the extraordinary efforts of many individuals, the city's tornado response has been a failure.
Soon after the tornado, volunteers, contractors, and city employees were doing the hard work of recovery, sawing trees to clear roads and stacking scattered bricks. At the same time, consultants from McKinsey & Company began working with the city. A memo STLPR obtained shows the consulting firm helped create a brand new office at no cost to the city. Spencer said this new team would eliminate debris, restore housing, and work to keep people in St. Louis.
Today, I'm excited to share that we are going to be creating a dedicated tornado recovery office.
Spencer appointed Julian Nix to lead the office. He had no experience in disaster recovery, but the mayor said he had already been leading the effort and had impressed her team. Others in the recovery also lacked experience. The chief cost recovery officer, Jim Hill, told STLPR he had never been through the FEMA reimbursement process. And the mayor's former chief of staff, Nancy Hawes, said no one at the cabinet level had any disaster experience.
That's not typical. Other St. Louis area cities and agencies who were also cleaning up after the tornado said their staff had experience dealing with disasters and had gone through the FEMA process before. St. Louis County's emergency management team had dealt with a litany of recent disasters, including multiple tornadoes, at least three historic floods, and FEMA projects related to the COVID-19 pandemic. County Deputy Director of Emergency Management Dan Stumpf says working with FEMA this year was similar to his previous experiences.
The process for us, whether it was 15 years ago or whether it's just a year ago, for us, it has not changed. We've had the same response. We've had the same support.
We heard similar thoughts on FEMA from multiple cities and agencies dealing with the May 16th aftermath. But the Spencer administration says that's unfair because St. Louis was dealing with so much more destruction.
On North Newstead in the Greaterville neighborhood, it's clear there's still a ton of work to do. Buildings are crumbling on the sidewalk, tarps are hanging from roofs, and signs in front yards show STL Recovers visited these homes months ago. Many are now condemned.
On Friday, we asked Spencer why so little progress has been made.
We ended up on being this sort of guinea pig on the national stage for this ever-changing FEMA, juggling all that, ramping up existing programs, building new programs has been painstakingly slow.
She's right that the chaos at FEMA in the last year was hard to miss.
We want to wean off of FEMA, and we want to bring it down to the state level.
Thousands of FEMA employees left or were pushed out at the beginning of Trump's second term, and it really did slow things down in St. Louis. Sarah Labowitz follows this closely as a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
The position St. Louis has been put in is a terrible one. And it, then the result of that is that it requires a lot more local leadership and a lot more creativity about where the money is going to come from and the level of advocacy that it's going to take to shake it loose.
But as early as July, some members of the Board of Aldermen were already raising their concerns about the effect of waiting for FEMA. It started with Alderwoman Alicia Saunier.
Potentially, we don't get reimbursed for some of the money that we spent. Potentially, the reimbursement is that we keep population and we help people who have just lost everything.
Board President Megan Green agreed.
I would rather spend money and retain residents than wait on the hope and dream that FEMA comes through.
But the city did wait for FEMA, and it turned out to be a long wait. For a result that was spelled out ahead of time.
Most homes in the tornado's path that were damaged were occupied, but many that needed to be demolished were already vacant or condemned. In a guide to public assistance, FEMA clearly says it doesn't cover demolition of structures that were condemned before a disaster. City officials were briefed on that guide in June, but instead of taking that information and running with it, St. Louis delayed starting work and instead submitted requests for clarification to the agency, including about vacant or condemned homes.
Spencer said she believed FEMA might make an exception, and she had to try.
To deploy the very limited resources that we had on buildings that had been vacant for decades, and we possibly had a path to paying for them so we could do more demolitions in the long run, could have been extremely wasteful.
After months of back and forth about the private property work, in February, FEMA explicitly told the city it would not cover condemned buildings, which Nick said disqualified about 250 buildings from federally reimbursable work. In the end, the city still had to do the work themselves. They started with a demolition of two homes in March and have torn down 69 homes as of late April.
Back in Fountain Park, Pat Miller is also getting work done, with or without the government's help.
This house means a lot to me. My mother sacrificed to get this house. So why should I walk away?
Eventually, she hopes to pass the home on to her daughter and granddaughter. But until then, she's dreaming about morning walks to drink her coffee in Fountain Park.
This is my home. This is just my home, what I'm fighting for. And I want to fight for other people to know that you can't give up. And for God's sake, we need to hold these politicians accountable. They have not rallied like they should have for North St. Louis.
Miller says it's up to her and her neighbors to come together and demand what they need right now. I'm Kate Grumke.
And I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Radio outlined the findings of our reporting in a letter to the mayor's office and provided an opportunity for the mayor to respond. STLPR's Kate Grumke sat down with Mayor Spencer in her office on Friday for a wide-ranging interview, including asking the mayor about the city not having any disaster recovery experience on staff in the aftermath of the tornado.
As FEMA is really shifting the burden of responding to major disasters onto cities, our city wasn't equipped with staff. You saw from the report about SEMA following the issue with the sirens that there was a cascade of failures within the city's emergency management team. And that was really unfortunate. So we brought in immediately some folks from Deployed Resources, which is a national disaster response firm. We brought in some experts from McKinsey and other consultant agencies who have a large amount of experience with disasters nationwide, and just a host of folks. We brought in consultants from Tetra Tech. We now have SLS and other consultancies, but we also had the state of Missouri's SEMA. The state of Missouri has more disasters than I think any state in the United States right now under FEMA. We, unfortunately, as a state, have a vast array of experience in disasters, and we had those folks embedded in our EOC for the first essentially 2 months of following the May 16th tornado.
We obtained emails that show in June the then director of the Community Development Agency, Noelle Pfeffer, wrote you a really detailed memo laying out the existing city programs that could immediately be reworked to do those exact same things, home repair and demolition. So I want to know why you decided to spend months creating entirely new programs instead of adapting what the city already had.
Well, I think Mr. Pfeffer, for one thing, CDA was operating at a massively expanded capacity following ARPA, and that was enormously slow. When I came in, one of the first things before the tornado that I really focused on was the ARPA funds and how the city was woefully behind every other city in the nation in deploying those ARPA funds and getting them spent. And there was, of course, a timeline. And the overwhelming majority of those unspent funds were in CDA. In fact, the vast majority of funds we had awarded many years before to CDA were still unspent when I walked in the door. And so, the idea of putting more funds into a department that was clearly incapable of getting funds effectively out the door was something I was very, very skeptical of.
And we've heard from residents who say they've lost hope in the city ever showing up for them. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
Well, we're going to keep showing up. And, it's about putting one foot in front of the other. And while we recognize that this recovery has been slower than we've wanted and certainly than our residents have wanted, we're going to continue to show up, and we're going to continue to invest, and we're going to continue to partner with community to build back that hope.
That was St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer speaking with STLPR's Kate Grumke. You can hear the full interview today on St. Louis on the Air at noon and 7 p.m. This week, St. Louis Public Radio is exploring the struggle to recover from the tornado, the flailing government response, and the fight for North St. Louis. Tomorrow, we're looking into the longstanding disinvestment and conditions in the hardest hit parts of town that have made recovery even more complicated. Today's stories were reported by our Kayvon Mansouri, Kate Grumke, Hiba Ahmed, and Andrea Henderson, and edited by our Jessica Rogan and Jonathan All. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.